push the button.
I did.
And we'll get there when we get there because we do have a producer.
That's true.
You know, and you know, we can just go from there. By the way, is my makeup all right?
That's fine. I don't have any on, so you look gorgeous. Me? I'm too damn tired. I don't want to put any makeup on. I'm sorry. I have lipstick on. That's about it. So don't even look at me. Don't look!
I'm sorry. No, I don't use lipstick. I'm just trying to hide the bags under my face.
Oh, please. I fell asleep before on the
I'll chair. Tell you what. I got enough bags under my eyes I could shuffle off to Buffalo. But I'm not going to shuffle off to Buffalo. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let Anne-Marie take you to Gillette Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready for another edition of Political QRM. Lock and load and buckle up and inflate your footballs.
Okay, folks, we're going to get right to it today. I'm Anne Marie. That's Lou. Say hello, Lou. Hello. Okay, Lou said hello.
Wow.
All right. Okay. There is so much going on here, and I'm going to have to focus on the NFL. I am not only disgusted, I am disappointed in some way, but not totally unexpected. This whole thing about... It started off last year with Colin Kaepernick took a knee, and more NFL players were doing it. And they would do it during the national anthem. And I guess finally, you know, people have always hated that. And, you know, considering comments I've seen on Twitter about Kaepernick taking a knee and other players taking a knee, and now they started again during the season, and it just kind of, in the past two games, just kind of, started rolling. And I guess Donald Trump, President Trump, had a fit because this is ridiculous. Why are you doing this? Well, he made a comment yesterday, you know, the other day. He said, basically, I would fire those SOBs. Get them off the field. Well, oh my gosh. The little snowflakes in the NFL, specifically Roger Goodell, decided that he was going to be so insulted. And he just railed against Donald Trump disrespecting the NFL. Okay, let's just start with that comment. Really? Disrespecting the NFL? Here you have a bunch of thugs, overpaid thugs, who are sitting there disrespecting not only our country on National Anthem, but their fans. Who do they think their fans are? Seriously. And then Goodell has the nerve to say, you're disrespecting the NFL? My God, what is wrong with him? But anyway, the thing is, you have these players disrespecting the fans. Do you know how many of those fans are former military who have fought? Many of them have been injured. Many of them have legs missing. And what about the men and women in blue, too? Huh? I am fed up.
Who also, by the way, buy tickets to these things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And also all the shirts and other team equipment and everything with the team logos on. I mean, seriously, you're not going
to
see.
And $30 to $50 to $75 for an autograph, depending on if you want it on a program or a football.
That's right. Are you kidding? I mean, just these shirts are, you know, $30 and up. I mean, they start at $30 and go up. I mean, that's a little T-shirt or something. So, I mean, you know, I mean, a few years ago I bought one for somebody and it cost $75 for a jersey, for heaven's sake. So, you know, none of this stuff is cheap. And the thing that really gets me is that today they decided to pull out all the stops and they're all kneeling and locking arms and doing, and the Patriots did it too.
Oh yeah, locking arms. That's the new one. The locking arms. Yeah.
And the Patriots did it too. And I am disgusted.
Patriots.
Yeah, some Patriots guys. The problem with that is that they did it, and I didn't watch any of the games. I said, to heck with it. I'm not watching the NFL anymore. It really, the breaking point for me was Thursday when I turned on the LA Rams 49ers game, and they showed these guys kneeling on the sideline, and I turned it off. Now,
I did see an interesting thing. The Rams, and I guess it was the Raiders, was the other game the other night?
No, it was the Rams and the 49ers. It was the Rams and the 49ers.
Yeah, but I'm saying the other game from the other, what do they call it, conference?
No. It was only one on Thursday. The only one on Thursday was the Rams and the 49ers. And that's what the game was. Yeah.
Well, maybe Sunday, maybe Monday, whatever night it was, but
no,
there
it was
were
Thursday.
Two games.
Last week.
And no, the combined attendance, well, no, there was two games that they pointed out. Maybe it was two different days. I don't know.
The first Monday night football, they had two games, but that was 2 weeks ago. This past Monday night, it was only one game. And then Thursday night, there was one game. Don't forget, there's a game. And what happened was, at the 49er stadium, there were many, many empty seats. See, the seats are the red, and they look like there are people in them. But no, they were actually empty. Yeah.
That's where I was going with it, is they were panning around the stadium, showing, you know, they didn't show it, I mean, obviously in the feed, but they mm-hmm. in the B-roll. They were showing these myriad empty seats, and it was brought up in a statistic that I think it was the Rams game and I think it was the Raiders game. And I don't know if they were on the same night or not, and I don't care. But
they weren't.
The USC Texas game had a better attendance than both of those combined.
There you go. And a lot of people
I've said this before. Football stops being a sport the minute you take your first dollar.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a business.
That's right.
Then it becomes a job.
And the people in there are your consumers. People in the stadium are your consumers.
Well, here's an interesting postulation from my opinion. I hearken back, and I'm trying to remember the poet's name. He wrote a poem immediately after the First World War. And it was a cricket reference, mm-hmm. and it was called get up, and play the game. Mm-hmm. And this guy in a trench being gassed and mortared and machine gunned and all this other stuff remembered what his cricket captain told him, no matter what the score, no matter what the wicket, no matter play up, and play the game. Mm-hmm. Ignore the scoreboard, ignore the fans, ignore everything, play up, and play a game. And it was allegory for what was going on with this particular soldier in the First World War. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many coaches from Pop Warner, from Babe Ruth League, from basketball, you know, always say, you know, or for that matter, we'll bring Hollywood into this, Ars Gratia Artis, art for the love of art. Mm-hmm. You do it not because you're going to get rich. You do it for the love of the game. Let's bring the NFL in one weekend, just 1 week or 1 week. You know, I don't know, whatever one cycle of games is, and say, tonight, boys, we're going to play for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't do that.
And they'll all turn around and say, take a knee. No, they'll take a walk. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, no, the thing is that this has just reached, I was on Twitter and I was looking at one of the comments and I really think that this is true. And one guy tweeted, today the NFL committed suicide. And I have to think that also. You have, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars a year and they have the absolute nerve to do this. A few interesting other things that happened today. The Pittsburgh Steelers decided to stay in the locker room for the national anthem, except one player. His name is Alejandro Villanueva. Alejandro Villanueva is an Army Ranger who served three tours in Afghanistan. And he came out of the tunnel. And he stood there with his hand on his heart for the national anthem. And they cheered.
All the way, Ranger brother, all the way.
They cheered him. They cheered him. It was deafening. And then when the Steeler team came out, they were booed by the fans.
Well, Michelle Malkin said, I don't know if it was yesterday or today, Michelle Malkin said, no business can alienate its customers and survive.
And I agree with her on that, because they have really alienated a lot of people. Now, you know me, Lou. I mean, I watch the games on Sunday. Two games, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and then I watch Sunday night. I watch Monday night. I watch Thursday. And once we get into Saturday games, I'll watch that too. I watch the NFL channel during the week, okay, to see what's going on, to see how the players, whoever's injured, or see if they're making any changes. Believe me, I'm a fan, and I always have been. And this is reprehensible. Let me tell you something. My country and respect and patriotism for my country, that's not a bargaining chip. That's not. You either respect this country or get the hell out. And let me tell you something. This is to the NFL. All you lovely little players who are making millions and millions of dollars, and you are so against America. Why don't you go play for the CFL? Oh, that's right. The CFL, the highest player, highest paid player, is a quarterback, and he's paid $400,000 a year. So while you're wah-wah about the fact that, oh, America's being unfair to the black man or whatever, why don't you go into the hood? Why don't you pony up some of your big bucks and start programs for these endangered men and women, okay?
Well, yeah, they all talk about how they're from the hood, but none of them still live in the hood, you know? Did you notice that?
That's right. But this is their way.
You know, look, I responded to a post this morning, and one of the issues I brought up was the fact that these people, because of America being America, you know, the money they make.
That's right.
And a particularly astute libertarian came to me and said, you know, right there, it wasn't like it was private message or anything, it was right there, and said, what difference does it make whether he makes $19 million, $25 million, $33 million? Why is the money important? And I said, well, the money technically, as you know, you're asking me, I get your point. It's moot. I said, whether the guy makes a dollar or a million is moot. It's a question of optics. And God, I hate that expression.
I know.
But when you've got a guy, that, let's just say he's a cop. Right? And he's got two boys. And his buddy from the station house has two boys. And they got to go on the hook for $500 between them to take their boys to the game. You know, gas and tolls and parking and a jersey and a couple of hot dogs, a couple of beers for the guys, a couple of Cokes for the kids. You know, and the game ticks themselves. These guys are on the hook for $500.
That's right.
And they're standing there. These guys who go out and defend these other schmoes, as well as thousands and thousands of people per day that they don't even know. They take their kids to this game, and everybody has a nice time. But while they're sitting there, and the anthem starts playing, and they all stand up, including their kids, and they stand up and they put their hand over their heart, and all these guys are down there kneeling. And I don't want anybody to start this crap with me. The cop and his partner, they could be white, they could be black, they could be Latino, they could be anything you can name. They could be Martians for all it matters. But they're in
when
the
they
stands
the
and they stand up.
Lou, when they put on that uniform, they're all blue. Right?
Yeah, my point precisely.
Brothers and blue.
Because I did this thing. You know, you know, these guys go and they're working stiffs. It sounds crazy, but having worn a badge, I know that basically, you know, yes, your job is dangerous. Your job is to run towards the gunfire. You know, all this other stuff that we use to try and make the point. But when you're walking a beat or riding in a squad car or riding in a SWAT vehicle or whatever. You know what? You're a working stiff.
Yeah.
That's your job. That's your job. And I got to tell you somebody, you know, look, for everything you see on TV on cops or you see it on, you know, SWAT team in action or whatever on, BBC or something. You're talking about 4,000 hours of walking around, swinging your baton like Officer Joe Bolton for 1 minute of hitting somebody on the thighs to get them off the corner.
Yeah.
You're not talking about a glamorous, you know, all excitement, fun, and action.
That's right.
You know, unless you're Fort Apache to Bronx or something. You know, you're really talking about a game of boredom. It's a workaday life for your average B cop.
Mm-hmm.
And for a workaday life of an average B cop with a couple of three kids and his buddy from the station house to go for that much money, for these guys to sit there, stand there, lock arms, kneel there, whatever it is they're going to do because, the cops are a symbol of racist, white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys could be black cops with black kids.
That's right.
Or Latinos or a white guy and a Latino guy or a white guy and a black guy. They're paying that much money. I said it's a question of optics.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good that you've got a talent for throwing a ball, carrying a ball. I'm not just talking about the NFL. I'm talking about, you know, whether it's the NBA, the hockey league, baseball league.
Wait a minute. One player in the MLB baseball, they kneeled yesterday too. I forget what team it was from. It's like, yeah, okay. This is getting out of hand.
This is the thing. And you know, look, it's hard to, from the pragmatic point of view that I on occasion bring, it's hard to take the movement seriously when 99% of the people in this quote-unquote movement are only there for either their 15 minutes or they're there for show and go, that kind of thing. But when your masthead, your figurehead, your titular leader appears on the practice field with socks on that show, pigs dressed as cops.
Mm, yeah.
Pigs in a blanket, the whole thing. You know, what do we want, dead cops?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's standing there at the news conference, his very first news conference, explaining himself, wearing a T-shirt with Fidel on it.
Yep.
He reveres for bringing education to the masses of the Cuban people.
Mm-hmm.
Not to count the thousands and thousands and thousands he shot in the street and left their bodies to rot in the gutter.
Yeah.
And they stand there and they complain about homophobic, transphobic, racist, misogynist, white supremacist Klan and this, that, and the other thing. And Che Guevara would have, if he knew you were gay, shot you and left your body in a ditch to rot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know. It's insane. But let me tell you what's going on with so the NFL is going to have it's going to be broadcasting a message of unity. Okay? Now,
I'm sorry, excuse me.
No, the thing is, though, it's like, wait a minute, it's your players that started this crap. You know, and your players that decided to make a football game a soapbox for political thought.
Well, no, you missed it.
No, I didn't miss anything.
According to Roger Goodell, the players didn't start it, the league didn't start it, the management didn't start it. The President of the United States started it with his divisive comments.
The only reason he made those comments, though, Goodell, is because your players decided to show disrespect to all those men and women who fought so your players could comfortably earn their millions of dollars. And I have to disagree with your friend who said, what does the money have to do with it? Money has a lot to do with it. Because those tickets are $500 a piece or whatever, because it costs so much.
And the jerseys.
Yes, and everything else. But the thing is that They're making so
do
much
money. Do they still charge for a program?
I don't know. Probably. But the thing is that here they are. They're bleeding the fans, okay? Now, you know, as well as I do, the majority, the average fan is not a man bun, does not have a man bun.
Skinny jeans. Man purse.
Yeah, a spouting Marxist theory. Wait a minute.
Hipster beard.
Spouting Marxist theory, you know? That's not their average fan. But they don't seem to understand that. So what they're doing is they're kicking
them. Okay, Hillary didn't understand it either.
Look, they're kicking the fans in the teeth. They're kicking us all in the teeth. And then they turn around and yell at us because we're insulted. That's what's happening here. They're kicking all of us in the teeth. Everybody who has gone to those games and has spent the money or has stayed home and cheered for the team, watching TV, which of course gives them ratings, which gives them ad revenue. So
hey.
So the thing is,
wait a minute. I know people besides you, and specifically Patriots fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it costs, so I can't speak to that. But I know at least three between Maine and Massachusetts that are Patriots fans who canceled their NFL Sunday ticket
because of this.
Now I don't know what that costs.
No, that Sunday ticket's a bunch of bucks. It's like $300 for the season.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know because I never applied.
It's expensive. It's $300-$350, and it keeps going up. So I've had it. Everybody's had it.
So as but Michelle Malkin said, you can't alienate your customer base.
That's
now we're not talking fan base.
No, the fans because, are like the I said, customers, Lou. My husband went out and bought me. But the thing is, my husband went out and bought me an Edelman jersey. I mean, you know, come on.
That's my point. It stops being a sport when you start taking money.
That's right.
So now we're not fans anymore. We are customers.
That's right. And, you know, the thing is, so they're going to try all this crap. Oh, we're going to do this unity ad. Wait a minute. You started this, guys. But I will tell you, Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, says nobody kneels for the anthem. Nobody. And he is a man with courage.
And he
now,
said
Bob
that.
Kraft, I'll tell you, Robert Kraft.
He said
Kraft,
that before.
What? Yeah, he said
who's
it.
Who's Robert Kraft?
Robert Kraft's the owner of the Patriots, okay? Let me bring up what he said, which is really ticking me off on this. Because what he said is that he said it was a shame that this had to become. He was deeply, deeply disappointed in Trump's comments. And here we go. Deeply disappointed by the tone. And his comments are, he says, he says, I'm proud to be associated with so many players who make such tremendous contributions in positively impacting our communities. Their efforts both on and off the field help bring people together and make our community stronger. I don't know. Then he says, there is no greater unifier in this country than sports, and unfortunately nothing more divisive than politics. I think our political leaders could learn a lot from the lessons of teamwork and the importance of working together toward a common goal. Excuse me, Mr. Kraft. It's the players of the NFL that turned the game political. So I really think your comments are really inappropriate. And I think you're trying to gloss over the problem here. None of those players should have taken a knee.
I agree with you.
No, I'm ticked at this, Lou. I am so ticked at this.
Oh, of course you are. Of course you are. But here's the point. The point is that these people are employees.
I know that. Yes, and I agree with
you. They're not players.
But you don't understand.
If you're in high school or college, you're a player.
The owners don't get it. The owners seem to think that they have this halo around them. You know? They have this big halo.
They're gonna.
Wait a minute. And the one owner who joined the players today, I forget what team it was, and kneeled with them, I don't know if it was the Jaguars. Well, guess what? He's Muslim. So, obviously, that's par for the course.
Well, my part of it, my one of my deepest issues with the whole thing goes to the fact, and this is one part of the conversation I had earlier on social media. Kids have worshipped their sports quote unquote heroes, and I use the quotations advisedly, forever. Mm-hmm. Since the ancient, Sumerians and the ancient Spartans, and they've worshipped their sports quote unquote heroes forever. Why we now have 8 and 10 year old kids in Pop Warner taking a knee because that's what they see their sports quote unquote heroes doing.
Yeah. And you know, at that age, they want to
and
emulate.
And with all the money, they want to emulate their sports stars.
Mm-hmm.
And their sports stars could be putting out such a... And now, don't get me wrong. I've seen things where sports stars from every sport have gone and done wonderful, magnificent things.
I agree. But you know what?
But when it comes right down to it, where are our Patriot, not the team...
Mm-hmm.
But where are our Patriots? There was a meme going around the internet that showed Colin Kaepernick, and there was another fella, and they were the same age. They graduated. They were drafted in the same round of draft pick. Mm-hmm. And Colin Kaepernick did what he did, and this other guy gave up his NFL career to join the military and go fight for our country.
Yeah, and that was Pat Tillman, who died overseas.
Okay.
Yes.
And, here he gave up that lucrative NFL contract.
That's right.
Where are the Patriots? Again, not talking about the team.
I know.
The Patriots among the NFL stars that are out there?
Right
As
now,
I
there's
said,
only
they
one.
All talk about the.
That right
they
now
all talk about the hood.
Right,
but they don't live in it.
But right now, there's only one. There was only one Patriot in the football stars, and that is Alejandro Villanueva of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Okay, that is the only Patriot out there because of his service to his country and his respect for the flag, his respect for our country, his respect for the fans who allow him to, earn the money because of the things they buy and everything. And plus, he's a damn good player. But he is a Patriot. He is a real Patriot. And I'll tell you that they have that video, and it is making Twitter rounds like a man on fire. I mean, it is unbelievable. That is the only Patriot. Look, I think what we have to have here in the NFL is a change of mindset. You do have a lot of these guys that have been able to come up from the hood. Yes, they have to go to college because it's very, very difficult for them to get...
Yeah, so some scholarship fund bought them a degree.
Right. Basically, a lot of them. Some of them know. As a matter of fact, one player just left. He's got a doctorate in astrophysics. Seriously, the man is an absolute genius. And
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I'm just saying. But there were some players that are very, very intelligent. And he just left the NFL because he wanted to go and really, get back into his field, field. But anyway,
Grant just. But some of them do understand the dynamics of air pressure within and without a football.
Yeah, I know. Very funny. But, I know. Boy, is that a dig. But anyway, the thing that has to change is the whole idea. Goodell has to go. Goodell has to go. That's the first thing.
Well, look at it this way. Look at the President of the United States, who you love him or hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Stands there
and
says, throw that son bitch off the field, you're fired. And look, he made, he's this, he's that, he's not presidential, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all that other crap, your man bun wearing, skinny jean wearing, latte drinking,
Right, I know.
With your degree in your degree in gender studies that now qualifies you to pour coffee for people, the President of the United States won that election based on the fact that he would come out and say, Throw that son of a bitch off the field, you're fired. That's how he won the election. And if the NFL wants to take a clue from anyone, let's take the clue from, first of all, the fact that their ratings are down. Second of all, the fact that ESPN's ratings are in the toilet. Their ratings were beneath reruns of Mighty Mouse on Cartoon Network, which went off the air in 1965.
Well, you know that station...
The 25 years before most of the players were born, and Mizzou. There's your shining example on a hill, NFL. Mizzou.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The thing is that this is a turning point for the NFL. Either they get rid of Goodell, and they start shaping up, and they start telling these players, guess what? This is your fan base. I would like the NFL to do some serious research on demographics as to their fan base. How much these people
Think they don't have that research all?
I'm sure they do. But perhaps they should take another look at it. Perhaps they should take a very serious look at it and take time to think about whether or not they want to give up their lucrative careers.
Do you think this is going to impact other sports?
No. If they start this crap, yeah. If they don't, no.
Do you think it would have the same impact on the NBA?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know. Because the NBA, I don't know. Because the NBA has a different fan base. And you know that as well as I do.
Well,
I've never been
an NBA. I do too. You know, yeah. I mean, the NHL and the NBA have an entirely different.
Yeah.
You know,
the NHL, I think. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what it is. I think the NBA, I don't know if they would do it or not. I'm pretty sure they would, but I don't know. I don't know what the hierarchy there
would
do.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I don't know what they would do.
I'll tell you this. Here's the deal. Here's the thing that really gets me is all those people who are screaming about, you know, the support and the outpouring of different shades of support and different shades of empathy and different shades of sympathy over all of these players and what it may or may not mean to their careers and all this other stuff. Where were all these people back when Tim Tebow used to take a knee to thank his creator for having made a good play?
Oh, there was outrage about that. Remember that? There was outrage.
I remember.
How dare he bring that onto the field? But if it's okay for these people to disrespect us and disrespect our country.
His personal beliefs were
not supposed to be part of the game.
Ridiculed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we got to move beyond that. You can't have that going on. This is a public spectacle of sports competition. But as soon as it was, you know, the quarterback who I choose not to name.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the kick. Here's mm-hmm. the kick.
But.
And this is just my observation. And it may be numerically incorrect, but I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Mm-hmm. Because I watch this stuff all day, every day. On, let's call it, there used to be a show called Any Given Sunday.
Yes.
I don't know what it had to do with, but I used to see it come across my Roku feed.
Mm-hmm.
On Any Given Sunday, there are more millionaires taking a knee against the national anthem than there are cops who did something bad to somebody intentionally.
Excellent, excellent point. Excellent point, Lou. Oh my God, you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. Yes.
And I think America is tired of it. They're tired of Rob Reiner. They're tired of I can't name all the comedians.
Chelsea Handler.
You know,
who said,
tired.
Yeah, Chelsea Handler, who said that she would gladly trade Donald Trump for Kim Jong-un. Oh, my God!
Does she read the paper?
No, obviously not. I mean, maybe she can't read, Lou.
Well, maybe not, because here's the thing. She's all concerned about the fact that Donald Trump may bring us to the brink of war, and here's a joker over there that's been trying to bring us to the brink of war for 25 years.
That's true, and it's like...
Wait a minute. ...has sex slaves.
Does anybody remember that, he was shooting off stuff during the Obama administration? Does anybody remember that?
Well, maybe what it is she's... Maybe she did hear that he had sex slaves, and she's afraid to fly, so she wants to trade him so he's here on our soil, so she doesn't have to fly.
Yep. Yeah, it's just insane. I'm sorry, it's insane, Lou. I just can't.
The Emmys had a tanking rating, the second lowest rating in the history of the Emmys, right? ESPN is failing.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's grasping for straws. They're trying to play, because they're all same parent company, CNBC, MSNBC, et cetera. They're all part of Disney. And, you know, their ratings are going in the tank because they're trying to keep up with their other, you know, sister organizations. But they weren't designed to keep up with it. They're a sports network.
That's right. Entirely different base. Entirely different.
So they're trying to shove their toes into a shoe that doesn't, a glass slipper that doesn't fit.
That's right.
And they're losing. And as soon as they start losing, look, how much was this past year? How much was a halftime commercial at, you can't say Super Bowl because it's patented or trademarked or whatever. So you have to say the big game. Wasn't it something like $30 million a minute or some such crap?
I forget. It was incredibly high. I forget how high it is. But every year it goes higher and higher.
No, well, maybe this year it won't. Because you know what? They keep bringing people on that Joe Sixpack doesn't want to see.
Yeah.
Look, Joe Sixpack may be happy
it's
to
just
see...
So, wait a minute, Lou. It's not just so Joe Sixpack. You can't... Seriously, Lou. People... I know many educated people, myself among them, highly educated people who love football and who understand football.
That wasn't the alley I was going to.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, okay. But Joe Sixpack is not the only one.
No, but what I'm saying is wild Joe Sixpack. And where did that come from? The Clinton administration, Joe Sixpack?
Probably. I think it's derisive.
Well, Joe Sixpack may sit there and enjoy watching his big screen TV that he's on the hook for so he could watch football.
And he has
may
every
enjoy
right to?
Watching. Yes, indeed. No, that's capitalism at its finest.
That's right.
While he may enjoy watching, what's her name, Bouncy? The singer.
Bouncy
That
Knowles.
Had the gun belts on her.
Bouncy huh? Knowles? Well, Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce. Yeah, you're right. May enjoy watching her and would have, for all intents and purposes, a costume that was airbrushed onto her. You know, I mean... Jiggle, jiggle, wiggle, wiggle. I mean, the girl was like a you know, Jello with a gun belt on.
You
know, I mean, while Joe Sixpack may enjoy watching that, was he happy with the message?
Yep.
And then to turn around and you take that is what we've seen from the last however many Super Bowls, politicization. And especially since the election of the president, the politicization of sports, and you combine that with people that are going to kneel or lock arms or sit. And as a matter of fact, I thought I saw something the other day about a guy who not only didn't stand and didn't even kneel, but sat and joked and laughed during the national anthem on one of the benches. And to see this taking place... And to have all this stuff taking place in the halftime commercials. You know what? It's not a question of ESPN laying off a few employees because their ratings are down. Anheuser-Busch is going to have to start laying off Clydesdales because it's just not going to be there.
You're right. Poor Clydesdales. Let me just read to you some of the tweets that are coming out. One guy says, the NFL did more today to protest America than it has ever done to protest domestic violence committed by its own players. Congrats, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And I did not know this, by the way, today is Gold Star Mother's Day. President Trump officially declaring today Gold Star's Mother's Day, which honors families of military service members who lost their lives. Isn't that nice? And right now, all those players are spitting on the graves of those men and women who were lost. That's what they're doing, Lou. They're spitting on their graves. When you show disrespect to the flag, you spit on the graves. So, yes.
You talked about earlier,
what?
Why don't these players go play for the CFL?
Yeah.
All right, and follow me here.
Okay, I'm following you.
These players won't go play for the CFL. Now, one of the only avenues that we have had open, wide open, well, two, because one was legal and one wasn't quite legal, but it still happened. Two things that the United States and Cuba have never, ever turned off like a water faucet. Cohibas, which, yeah. as someone who is a connoisseur of cigars, I'm sorry, keep them. Although Bill Clinton loved them enough to... anyway.
Okay.
Cohibas and pitchers. You know, or at least whether it was a pitcher or a shortstop. I mean, we got them from Cuba all over the place. So, if that's the case, why don't they play for, instead of Canada, which pays, what was it, $40,000, $60,000, whatever it was?
What?
Why don't they? Because they love the
game. $400,000.
They love the game. They adore the game. They play the game. They play up and play up and play the game. Why don't they play in Venezuela or Cuba?
There you go. I know.
And then when they turn around and they get in trouble because they're drunk driving and they kill somebody, they find themselves doing the dangle at the end of the rope dance.
Yeah. I know.
You know, well, not for nothing, but Michael Vick would have been perfectly at home in Cuba because that's what they do down there. But... you know, wait. You're going to stand there and preach to me with a Fidel shirt. Go play on his football team.
Well, it's not, there was no football. But I'll just say you that, you know, it's just a question of, this has all gone too far. And let me tell you something, you know, and again, you guys feel so bad for those who you think suffered at the hands of police or our
not that you did personally.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just ridiculous. So you know what, guys? You're toast. That's it. Goodbye. Adios. Bye. You know, seriously.
Well, no, you know what? Football's too big to fail. You know, but when I look at, you know, I mentioned Tim Tebow earlier. Right. And let me tell you something. I don't follow. There are certain sports I follow, and there are certain ones I don't. Off the top of my head, I can't think of which ones I follow. But for the most part,
jeez.
You know, I used to follow back in the John Sterling, Michael Kay days of the Yankee baseball. I used to follow it on radio. But, you know, I don't follow it on TV. And, of course, drag racing, both motorcycle and car. But last time I was with my granddaughter and, you know, stuff like that, she's into NASCAR. And I know you are too, to some extent.
Who, me? No. I'm not into NASCAR. No? Absolutely not. No.
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I guess.
Anyway,
I respect the sport. I do, but I it's too noisy for me.
Look, it's... people argue with me, why don't you follow NASCAR? And I said, listen, I said, I've been in drag racing for most of my life since I was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. Right? Back in the day when we walked around in animal hides, you know, alley-oop, oop, 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 you know, riding a dinosaur and, you know, wearing a tiger hide. Look, there were two guys, and a saber-toothed tiger came out of the bush, and the two guys ran in a straight line, and the first one that got away from the tiger won. Mm-hmm. So I've been a drag racer my whole life, so I don't understand NASCAR.
Okay.
But here's the gig. You go to a NASCAR event, and I've seen this happen on television. I've never been to one, thank God. Anyway, but and a lot of people take a knee. But it ain't during the national anthem. Mm-hmm. An awful lot of people stand there with hands clasped and heads bowed and arms locked. But it ain't during, or even if it is during the national anthem, it ain't because they're protesting. When these people line up side to side and they're about to go into, face it, at that speed and those distances, more gladiatorial combat than an NFL player will ever experience, and they take a knee and pray to whatever ugly god they pray to for a good race, a sound race, mm-hmm. a fair race,
safe,
nobody
yeah.
gets hurt, nobody mm-hmm. gets killed. Mm-hmm. They're not protesting anything.
Yeah, they're not. No. No.
I think that's a distinction that bears repeating.
Yes.
I think it's a distinction that bears repeating. And I think it goes right down the same alley as Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. These are people who, when they take a knee, they may take one, they may take both.
Yeah.
But they're in humility before the power that's going to save them from
that's true.
Death, injury, whatever.
That's
not.
True.
And I mean, there are cars in the NASCAR lineup that have thin blue line decals on them, and they've got U.S. Army decals and Marine Corps decals. These are not people protesting.
Yeah.
These are people who are American. Mm-hmm. These are people who, on top of everything else, know which side their bread is buttered on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know.
I never understood because you got to eat both sides of the bread anyway. But
you know, we started off a little bit ago talking about Korea. And we're going to have to get away from the NFL thing because I'm just getting so incensed and I just can't take it any longer.
She was incensed.
Oh, man, I was incensed. I was losing my
don't
religion.
Look at them!
Don't look!
Don't look, Amory!
I was losing my religion,
too late.
Folks.
She was already incensed.
I will tell you, I was, I just, as they say down south, losing your religion, that means, you know, you're really, really doing, you're really having a...
Oh, as long as you, as long as you copy... As long as you copy Goodell into that letter with Belichick, I think you're
well,
doing
well. I think I'm
going
to have to do that. I think I'm going to have to write a letter to Robert Kraft, and it's just it's getting to the point. And I think that anybody who is a Patriots fan should do that and try and just say, look, this is why I disagree with you and what the players did.
I'll tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to because I don't know these things and you do. I'd like you to put things like the email addresses, the Twitter feeds, etc., of people like Belichick, of people like Kraft, of people like mm-hmm. Goodell, mm-hmm. You know, and stuff like that in the comment section when you post the podcast.
I'll see if I can find them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd yep. like to see that in there because you know something? Nothing. You know, we could Twitter all day, we could Facebook all day, we could Gab all day, we could Minds all day, we could Kadias all day, and you know what? If they don't read it, they don't see it. But a direct mm-hmm. email or a letter or a phone call mm-hmm. is what they're going to listen to. And don't discount the value of a phone call to Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you know, I'll just see what happens. You know.
I don't know who else is the sponsor because I don't watch the NFL. I don't know who else sponsors it. Mm-hmm. But, hey, advertisers, if they say, hey, this week we got 20 million emails from people saying they're going to not buy our product, you know, just for baloney's sake, and please don't quote me or hammer me on this. If Exxon is an advertiser and they say, we're going to go buy our gas for BP.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll see. I don't know. We'll just see. You know, I'm going to see what happens, what the NFL does. All right, let's move on to North Korea.
Because those pressures matter because they seem to be working for North Korea.
Well, poor North Korea. What do you think is going to happen? I was at an event last night, and I actually met a woman who ran for governor and in New Hampshire, didn't make it. She was in the primaries. And now, actually, she follows me on Kodias, so I got to start putting stuff on there so she can see, you know. Yeah, so anyway.
God bless you, sweetheart, because you got to either, if you're first, you're in good shape. You only got to answer one person behind you. But if you're not first, you got to go with what's in front of you and what's behind you.
What do you mean? That's where the Kodias stuff, I have no idea how the hell that works. I mean, can I put articles on there that I've written? Or anything like that? Can I transfer stuff from our podcast? From our
No, you can't. No, you can't transfer.
What
you have to
do
is
write on there.
What you can do is what I do with Kodias is whenever you or I publish an essay,
right?
Or when we publish a podcast,
right?
I take the link
and you put the link on,
and I put it on Kodias.
Okay, fine. That's what I'll do then.
And I go so far as to, I also link to our Blueberry feed. I also link to our iTunes feed and things like that. So people have more than one, you know, modality they can use by which they can hear us or read us. And that's what it's for. It's more of a headline site, and then people can choose, you know, to either go down to our site or Blueberry or iTunes or wherever and listen to us, and they can either reshare the information or they can read it and like it and comment on it. And, you know, and again, you know, it's kind of, well, Kodias specifically was designed as a Facebook for conservatives.
I know. So that's what it
is. There are liberals on there, but they don't open their mouths because if they do,
they're going to get thrown off.
They're popped.
Okay.
Yeah, thrown right the hell off. It's for conservatives only. If you want to go there and you want to lurk and you want to spy and you want to see what's going on, the pulse, you know, finger on the pulse, so to speak, how can they do anything about it? Because they don't know. But the minute you open your mouth and you're not a conservative, you're out of there. Mm-hmm. Now that's Kodias, and it's a very stringent. You form networks of allies, and you form networks of coalitions, and you know, you do what you do.
Okay.
Mine's, on the other hand, is another one. You just point links to you. I can transcribe essays, so can you.
All right.
But as far as podcasts are concerned, it's just a link. But mine's is free speech.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's you or me or the President of the United States or Antifa or the KKK, the ANP, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center. It doesn't matter who you are, Milo.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't matter. You put your stuff up there and you take your hits and you take your misses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's a free speech zone.
All right. Okay, I'll have to start working on that a little bit. Okay, so basically, North Korea.
I told you what I would like to see happen in Korea. I'd like to see happen. I would like to see a covert operation where in the evening, when they're watching the NFL, by the way.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Kim Jong-un is a big basketball fan. He's gaga for basketball. But it's not,
he's got Dennis Rodman in his pocket.
I know. Dennis Rodman, that's why he made friends with Dennis Rodman. So, I know.
I thought it's just because he liked his legs in that wedding dress.
Yeah, we got a, I know. We got a month or two before the NBA starts
whatever.
Playing.
I'd like to see a covert team go in there. Five guys. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see them throw, you know, get into the His Highness Holiness Poopah Palace, mm-hmm. you know, the Hermit Kingdom Palace or whatever it's named after, you know, I don't know, whatever they call it. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see them go in there and throw, you know, some, if you're a Trekkie, which somehow or another I found myself being... you know, go into the ventilation system and pump in anesthesine gas. Mm-hmm. You know, put the entire place to sleep. Mm-hmm. And go in there and tie up all of his generals and advisors and stuff that are in the room. Just tie them up, bind them, gag them, mm-hmm. and leave them on the floor face down. And then go get Kimmy. Rocket Man, little Rocket. As a matter of fact, I you know, talk about this whole thing with Rocket Man.
Yeah, I know. You're getting off.
I'd rather see him called Little Rocket Boy.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't see a military entity. I really don't.
The only thing I can say is that either China decides to insert themselves in North Korea very, very strongly, you know, because I think after a while, I don't know if North Korea is now just telling China to go pound sand, and they're going to go and do what they want. Now, he is threatening to do blow up a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. And at this point in time, I mean, Japan is getting ready for a nuclear strike. So is Hawaii. So is Guam. I mean, it's horrible what's going on. I don't know unless we can, our intelligence community or whomever, CIA, whatever, can get into their software and hack it and really screw it up. There's a good possibility that, you know, we may have some horrible end to this blustering of his and his testing all these things. Now, you know what? He may not go for a nuclear strike.
Okay.
He may go for just an EMP strike, you know, where, you know, it bursts over, you know, and then there goes everything. Then, you know, poof, you want to talk about.
Maybe they let it go to 50 miles up and turn it around, and at 25 miles down,
I know. Cork. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking China really should start getting their butt, and I have no doubt that Donald Trump is exploring all options, and he's probably talking to China, and if he is, that's not something that he should be blabbing about, you know? There has to be secrecy as our intelligence communities are concerned and stuff like that, and dealings with and dealings with other countries. Let's see if he. I don't know. I don't. If he is thinking that he is going to do this, then we're going to have big problems. We're going to
The NHK or whatever it's called, the news service over there said
in Japan
called the president.
Oh no! NHK is Japan. NHK is Japan.
NHK is Japan. Okay, all right. NKS or whatever.
What it is,
NRK.
Yeah, I think
whatever it is. They called the president a dotard.
Yeah. What? Do you know what that is? Did you look?
Actually, I've heard four people, including Cavuto and a couple of other people online, explain to me that dotard is like a fool. Who is only a fool by virtue of being an old fool, like being someone who's senile or got dementia of some sort.
Okay.
So that's what I've been given to understand that it means. However, the direct quote from the dear leader or dear beloved, dearly beloved, you know, prince, you know, dearly beloved leader over there, you know, has called him a, you know, a savage, toothless dog. Well, that's one thing for you, Kimmy, to say that about the President of the United States, but don't forget, in his up his sleeve, he has a guy who's actually known as Mad Dog.
True. That is true.
You yes. might want to watch your animal allegory, you know?
So, that is true.
You know, China has had a history of bait and switch with us, saying, oh, yeah, yeah, we're going to tighten these controls.
That's right.
You know, these embargoes and these sanctions and just saying, yeah, 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 you know, and they'd say to the UN ambassador or the United States ambassador or whoever ambassador and say, oh, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And in the meantime, just keep going. You know, yeah, nothing changed.
Yeah, that's true.
This time when they brought the China Central Bank on, you know, the plan. Mm-hmm. Now, that may be the same bait and switch.
Good point.
But somehow the gravitas is there to say, I think they're really working on it. Because this is not 1953.
Uh-huh.
This is 2017. It's not 1957.
Yeah, that's true.
It's 2007. This isn't 60 or 65 or 70 years ago. This is now. Mm-hmm. And that whole isolationist, you know, we need North Korea as a buffer because of the, you know, the trilateral mutually assured destruction premises of the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. We don't have that now. We don't need that now. If North Korea falls and it becomes a non-nuclear Korean peninsula, we don't have to worry about Korea being, you know, our buffer anymore. Mm-hmm. We're strong enough on that border. We're strong enough. But to face it, China has been building their forces on that border because they're afraid of being overrun with refugees.
That's right. That's right. And many North Koreans who have escaped, they basically have to go through China. And it's obviously if they get caught, they get sent back or they get just put in a Chinese prison.
A gulag or, you know, or just shot, you know, I mean, whatever.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they don't know. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one.
Well, you know, when you look at this and say that this is 2017, not 1957, so, you know, the old-fashioned rules before Ronald Reagan, the old-fashioned rules before the fall of the wall, the old-fashioned rules of, you know, Chairman Mao and his minions, those old-fashioned rules no longer apply. Because, yes, China's nuclear. They've been nuclear for years. Yes, Russia's nuclear. They've been nuclear for years.
Right.
Yes, we're nuclear. We've been nuclear for years. We don't need those quote-unquote buffer zones. We don't need...
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That whole strategy is now moot. So now China has to decide whether or not they're really going to put the grip behind the grasp. They've got Kim grasped, so to speak, and I don't want to get graphic.
Yeah.
But now they have to decide whether to grip, whether they're going to squeeze or not to squeeze. You know, whether they're going to squeeze. Look, if they're already got one third of their fuel, shut off. And his people are starving. They're dying. They're emaciated in the streets. They're
eating their
pets. I mean, you know, they're chewing tea leaves just to get through another day. You know, I mean, this is not a regime that gives us rats.
No.
You know, the northbound end of a southbound rat, you know, what happens to its people.
That's right.
You know, but if he can't get enough wine to maintain his gout, now it's going to matter.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to do sanctions, but
so,
I don't know. This is all...
Is it going to end in a military confrontation? I doubt it.
We'll see, though. I don't know. don't know.
Look, we've got Tillerson. We've got, Nikki Haley. We've got all these people working on it.
Nikki Haley's been very strong. Yes. Yep.
Nikki Haley. I'm sorry. I always adored the woman as far as what she was and how she was and all this stuff. But even I underestimated they always used to joke about what's a Scotsman wear under his kilt?
Yeah.
I am now wondering what Nikki Haley's got under her skirt.
Oh, stop. I think you've gone a little bit too far on that one, Lou. I really do.
All right, maybe I crossed the line.
You crossed the line.
But I'm telling you, this woman makes Jean Kirkpatrick look like a dove.
Yeah, you got a point on that score. Yes, you do. That's true. Hey, listen, I don't know if you've been paying.
She is prettier, Jean Kirkpatrick. You know.
True, but you know. Yeah, Jean Kirkpatrick, you could tell she was a very, very strong person.
Strong!
She knew how to do the job. She did, and I really admired her.
She's cut from the cloth of Jean Kirkpatrick, Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Golda Meir.
Right. I know. Listen, I want to move on to the Germany election here. Unfortunately, Merkel won a fourth term.
Lack there.
Yeah. But the nationalists supposedly have gotten some seats in parliament. And I'm not the parliament. Yeah, well, yeah. I guess it translates to parliament. It's called the Bunde. I can't even say it. So Germany is not exactly my best language. No.
Well, you're closer than I am. At least you understand that.
There's
no way.
But the thing is, her conservative CDU CSU alliance has dwindled. But the bloc is still going to remain the largest in the parliament. I don't know. Now they say
All they have to do is change the head of the snake. That's all they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Really? No, that's really all they have to do. Hmm. Because no matter what majority they maintain, we're looking at a similar situation to when we did not have the White House and we did not have the House of Representatives, but we had the Senate.
Yeah.
All we have to do is stifle them for a while.
Yeah.
Put everything on hold. Put everything in freeze, in stasis, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because let me just go to the whole – and I'm not trying to go back to the NFL thing. But we've got four or five guys on this team, 12 guys on that team, 7 guys on that team, and they're doing this Neil thing. You know, and then you go to – Free Speech Week in Berkeley, and you've got a dozen or two, three people, two, three dozen, you know, maybe on one side, and then you've got 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 people. When the Germans or the French or the Dutch or the Swedes put together a march or a rally for saying we've had enough, they put 25,000 people.
I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. I have not seen it, and I think that the French and the Germans are just capitulating. I do. I think
I watched. Watched the march. I watched a march by what's
but
it called?
Why why has Merkel been reelected? Why is Macron president of France? Why? This doesn't make no sense. You have these people who are out there. Now, either it's
I think we should ask Jim Comey.
Yeah, yeah. You have massive voter fraud, and it's ridiculous.
There's no way. I mean, look, everybody with a brain knew Macron was not going to win.
No,
everybody with a brain.
No,
knew.
Le Pen, you were talking about. Macron went. Won.
No. Everybody knew Le Pen was going to win.
She didn't.
Because of the popular moments. She didn't, but everybody with a brain who watched the various demonstrations of 12 and 15 and 20 and 25,000 people.
Why didn't she win?
Voter fraud.
Okay.
Or
there you go.
Russian meddling. Or
Russian meddling. That's nonsense. Russian
meddling. Or, whether it's Russians or Soros or whoever. and I don't want to put on a tinfoil hat here, but there's no way Macron could have won. There's no way in the last election that Angela Merkel could have won, mm-hmm. but she did. Mm-hmm. So did Macron. Macron yeah. came along, and everybody, including our liberal media, yeah. when he won, were like, what? He won?
No, no, no. They knew he was going to win. They were supporting him. Uh-uh. I have to disagree with you on that.
Just they like were supporting they, him.
That just like
no, I'm not saying on air. Merkel I'm saying in their newsrooms, they were oh. like, oh, my God, he did?
Yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
And you know, it was amazing to watch the turnout of people with road flares, with red, white, and blue, or blue, white, and red, whatever. I don't remember which direction the French flag goes. Smoke grenades held up to the sky on sticks to make the tricolor as they're marching down the street. 25,000 people tying up entire, not just an entire city, but an entire province mm-hmm. with this demonstration.
I admit, perhaps you've seen that, but I'll be honest with you. What is occurring in France is another thing, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And they're just getting beaten into the ground.
Even Theresa May now is wavering on Brexit.
Uh-huh.
Europe is doomed.
Yeah, it is doomed.
I'm sorry. I would like to not have to say that, but Europe is doomed.
Yeah, it is doomed.
I mean, I will go so far as to say it's not doomed. It's already done.
Yeah. That's
Europe
true.
Is toast. It's history.
Yep.
Western civilization out as far as the Azores no longer exists.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's true.
And therein lies the rub, Amory. Mm-hmm. Therein lies the rub. Because as far as I'm concerned, I have European roots, so do you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as far as Italy is concerned, well, you know, as far as the problems in, you know, all that stuff, well, the wise guys got that, you know.
No, they don't. They're having more problems. Nobody has anything. I'm telling you right now, Europe is doomed. Everybody, Sweden, everything. I mean, Sweden, it's horrible. People can't even go out of their homes.
Sweden, Denmark, Finland, all of them. Yeah. Well, not Finland. Because they were never, ever conquered.
The only two places that are going to be safe to visit in Europe are going to be Poland and Hungary, and that's about it. And then go to Japan.
Mm-mm.
What else?
Switzerland.
No, same things in Switzerland. No.
Switzerland, you know, 3 out of 4 people are armed, and they don't deal with any of that crap.
They don't have people that are armed in Switzerland.
What are you talking about?
No. Really?
No, sugar, let me tell you something. 3 out of 4 people in Switzerland, first of all, if you turn 18 in Switzerland, just like in Israel, you are in the army.
Oh.
And when you leave the army, you keep your gun.
Well, I did not know that.
3 out of 4 people in Switzerland are armed. They have a very, very low crime rate. Why? Because if you walk in someplace with a gun, you got 35 people pointing at you with theirs.
I don't know.
Switzerland is a very heavily armed country. Among its populace.
I did not know that.
Now, in among the Scandinavian nations, Finland has never been conquered. They've been taking in their EU share because the government, power right now. Go ahead. I see you staring down at your tablet. Pick it up. Go. Hmm. Run with it.
Oh, no. I didn't know what you're saying. I did not know that. I'll
and
be honest.
Finland
I was completely ignorant on these on the Switzerland
the populist
gun policy. I did not know that.
The populists among the Finns mm-hmm. have said we weren't conquered in the pogroms. We weren't conquered in the First War. We weren't conquered in the Second War. We weren't conquered. We were never conquered.
Wait
we will
a minute.
Never
no,
be conquered.
No, Finland. Just because Finland was on the side of the Nazis for crying out loud, Lou. They hated the Russians, so they invited the Nazis.
They hated
over.
The Russians.
Yeah, and they
then
invited
they
the Nazis.
Threw the Nazis out, but then they threw the Nazis out.
Yeah,
but
I know.
But you know what? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that went down as badly as it did is because they were counting on Patton to show up.
Oh, okay.
And he never did.
I never did.
Because Truman pulled him back.
Yeah.
Truman and I pulled him back. But
that's true.
Anyhow, look, there are spots in Europe that are not doomed, but the majority of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what? You could look at North Africa. You could look at the Middle East. You could look at these places. You know, Spain already did this with the Moors.
Yeah, but they still haven't learned. Same stuff's happening.
Well, I didn't say they had learned. But my problem is when you get to the point where it's business as usual and, oh, don't be Islamophobic when a 32-year-old guy rapes a 9-year-old girl at a park.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, if you happen to notice the fact that the guy's name was, you know, Muhammad al-Ib, whatever, and say so, then you're an Islamophobe.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You know, it doesn't matter if the guy's name was Muhammad al-Ibn Imid, whatever, or if it was, I don't know, Jerry Jones, whatever. But if you mention the fact that his name wasn't Jerry Jones, you're an Islamophobe. And there was an article put out on the Beeb, and I'm trying to remember where the original interview took place. Mel Brooks turned around and said, "We have become so ridiculously and dangerously politically correct that comedy is dead." Comedy is dead.
Yes. Yes, and Mel Brooks is right. He is right, yes. Yep.
So now we've got beheadings taking place in the north central part of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We've got mosques being built against the public's will.
Mm-hmm. In Virginia.
In at least
New Jersey.
We've got all these things taking place. And nobody looks to Europe and says, you know what, we came from Europe.
We came
from Europe for a particular reason. We came from Europe because of a particular set of ideals. Now those ideals are going to follow us here whether we like it or not. And nobody's really willing to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've got Linda Sarsour.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Making speeches that at any place she decides, whether it's a street corner, whether it's a university, whether it's a mall, whether it's, you know, anywhere, making these speeches by invitation, and there's nobody out there with anything other a sign saying, we don't like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you put Milo on Berkeley, or you put Ben Shapiro on Berkeley, or you put Ann Coulter or
Michelle Malkin. They had to call it off, yeah. They canceled it after like about 20 minutes. Yeah.
Joy Villa,
mm-hmm.
who is famous for having gone to, what is it, Emmys, Grammys, Oscars, whatever
know.
It is, wearing that gown that said Make America Great Again, and, you know, a very pretty girl, you know, very pretty dress.
Right.
And she bailed out on Free Speech Week. Free Speech Week.
Yep, I know. I know.
In Berkeley.
I know. It's just it's,
modern free speech.
Yeah, it's we're at a turning point here, or I don't know. Which way do we go? There's two paths, you know, and now we either
the one less traveled.
Well, I don't know. I think in this point, we're gonna have to go to the one that has been traveled before.
I'll tell you where this goes. I want to go back to Obama's original election. Now, I'm not crediting Bush 43 with anything good other than standing there looking good and making really nice words over the wreckage of the debacle that was 9/11 2001. other than standing there and reciting very good rhetoric, I really have preciously little use for the man. Mm-hmm. Obama's original election, in my never ever humble opinion, was where that turning point began. It was the pivot. It was where you put, you remember when you were a kid and in math class you used to have to buy that little compass with the pencil stuck in it with the, you know, and you put the pinpoint and everybody kept jabbing them into the desk, you know, and you made your little circles, your arcs or whatever.
Right.
That was where the pin, that was where the pin in the map of history went. Mm-hmm. The problem was it was like a cheap one and it wouldn't hold an arc. Mm-hmm. So it was a squiggly line. Right. And we've been following that squiggly line and getting dizzier and dizzier as it goes by.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would like to think that this president, President Donald J. Trump, who has the audacity.
I say courage.
To stand there. Huh?
I say courage.
No, I'll say audacity. Okay. I'll say audacity because you can have it. You can have courage. I'll say audacity because courage is doing something. Audacity is standing there and confronting the evil in front of you. Mm-hmm. And saying, throw that son of a bitch off the field. Mm-hmm. And calling him Little Rocket Man. And calling her Crooked Hillary. And using these names, people say, oh, it's so, so petty. No, it's not petty.
It's psychological
this
warfare.
Is psyops. Mm-hmm. This is psyops. This is what the American people want to hear. And he knows it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And I think that...
Well, the way I see it, we're an hour and a half on our hour time limit.
I know. We did it again, didn't we? We did it again.
Oh, no, an hour and a half. Look, look, look. We used to go 220.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We'll just...
I think our record is 245.
Perhaps. I think we'll have to just start wrapping this up. Wow.
Yeah, because I need a pill in the
swing. Okay. We're going to have to wrap this up then. Listen, folks, thanks for joining us, to all of you who did join us today. If
yes,
you know,
indeed.
Just what? What?
Our newest listener, Bella, is actually from the Azores.
Welcome, Bella. Welcome. Oh, my gosh.
The native... Azores, so an American expat, you know. Okay.
Yeah, I know. But that's... quite a ways away.
And welcome, Bella. We've got so many, you know, some of whom have actually been in my home for dinner on a Sunday recently. You know, Goldie from California and some of our other regular listeners. Well, I'm going to say something to our regular listeners for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. Like us, share us, comment to us.
Just say hello.
Just say hello.
Say, hi, it's so and so from, you know, wherever. We'd
type
like
in,
to see.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, like. Especially our from. Yeah.
Just happy
especially
fall,
our
y'all.
From
or
Jersey.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Type in, hey. How you doing?
You know, that. How you doing?
How you doing? How you doing?
You know, how you doing?
It's like.
Oh, my God, that brought back so many memories.
Oh, my God. You know, but I'm saying we got our, of course, politicalqrm.com.
Yes.
We've got Blueberry. We've got iTunes. We've got Gab AI. We've got, there's a new one that I joined called Path Minds, course, Daily Motion. I don't have an Instagram. Anne-Marie, do you have an Instagram?
No, I don't. I probably should. I'll have to look into that. I'll ask our producers. See if it's worth it.
Instagram is largely a
a mobile app thing, and I don't have a mobile app thing going on. So
we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I'm getting kind of lazy in my old age here, guys.
Got so many platforms you can find us on, and listen. I like to write essays, and I struggle. Granted, I do. I struggle to make 500 words, and I always have ever since high school.
Yeah, I can do that easily.
But Amory has no problem making 500 words. Just saying hi is 500 words for her. So,
I will be putting out one on about the NFL. I have to. I'm sorry, folks. I'll try not to repeat what I said on this podcast. I will try and come out with.
No! You have to. You have to because not everybody listens.
That's true. I will. Then I will put a lot of this into, because let me tell you something. I'm hot on this. On this subject.
But you're also passionate about the subject.
Yeah. Well, very funny. So many Americans are. So many Americans are so outraged. And I will. One thing I just read within the past hour, as a matter of fact, the Gold Star mothers are outraged over the attitude of the NFL commissioner and the owners in the place. They are outraged. So,
and they should be.
Yes. So there's more to come with this. And I don't know how this is all going to end with the NFL, but I do know that there are many, many people throughout the U.S. who have said no more. Go ahead.
Well, wait. Let me go back to the Gold Star mothers for a moment.
Okay, real quick, because I do want to wrap this up, Lou.
I want to wrap this up, too, but what about Gutierrez saying that Kelly was a disgrace to his uniform, even though he's a Gold Star father?
Yes, he is. And not only did he serve his country, but unfortunately his son died, you know? And you know something, people, some of you may say, oh, you people are just being overdramatic. No.
How do you say, let me ask you, because you're a linguist.
How
do you say schmuck in Spanish?
I don't know. I could use a no.
All right, we're going to come back in a few days, only because you know something. We got so caught up with the NFL.
Yes, we're going to have to focus on the other stuff.
And I'm not. Nope. Don't you dare say I'm complaining, because this was something that absolutely needed to be addressed on Political QRM.
Oh, I agree. Thank you. Yes, we agree on that.
And NOCO, which we didn't solve, but at least we put forth our, our opinion.
We'll see what happens with that. I'll bet you by tomorrow everything's going to twist around on that, because that thing is, wow, it's going in so many different directions, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, the whole thing with the United Nations, I'm sorry, I thought my president was the man, when it came to the United Nations.
Oh, I love that man.
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, to stand in front of the single most significant 12-acre, mm-hmm. Body acres.
what we could do with that 12 acres. Seriously, the only thing that would have been better is if he had given them an eviction notice on that. Honest to goodness. If he had said, you have 6 months to get out of here. Here's your eviction notice.
You know how all politicians, even though I don't consider our president a politician, but by the time we get through the 2020 election, and by the time we get to 2024, when he's going to be, of course, term limited out, I have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that he's got his eyes on that 12 acres of Manhattan.
Oh, gosh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So,
He's had his eye on that 12 acres 30 years ago. He did. He probably had his eye on that 12 acres.
Yeah, but now he's got the muscles to flex.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
So anyway, folks, we're going to have a nice time, but we're going to be back very soon. Yes. And I'm going to commit Anne-Marie to this because we've got so much stuff we didn't do, including the United Nations speech and including the outtakes of everything.
We'll see.
So we're going to wrap it up today, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, mommy, oh, daddy, oh, kittens and cats. What do you got to say for yourself, Amory?
I'm exhausted. But thank you, everyone, for listening. I know I went off on a tangent, but I think it was a tangent that had to be said. So everyone, stay safe. And just remember, folks, that before you go to bed at night, thank those men and women who are in the military, just in your heart. Say a thank you to them for keeping you safe. And also, all those men and women who are part of the Thin Blue Line, please thank them in your heart. I think it'll go a long way. So everyone, just take care. Back to you, Lou.
And I want to think about how many things in this world could be solved with the amount of money that those people make if it was put towards the programs that the Democrats claim to love. I also want to think about how many things in Puerto Rico, the United States Virgin Islands, and all the other places, you know, Texas, Louisiana, Florida, how many people can be helped by the money you will save if you just cancel your NFL Sunday ticket and send it to them. Because that's what I mean, among other things, when I say God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.